The Upsetting Truth, Part 2. From KathleenKerridge.com, and I'd like to thank Kathleen for giving me permission to use this on my blog. Everything I do seems to have a sequel. It's funny how life can be like that. I really felt that some points needed to be addressed, however. There are a lot of misconceptions surrounding the unseen poor. Let's kick back with a cuppa and have a chat about a few of them, shall we? Make yourself comfortable and come sit with me. Keep your coat on. It's not cold enough for heating, but you're probably going to feel the chill in my house if you're not used to it. My family and I are used to it. Our old house never had heating for 3 years, thanks to an indifferent and incompetent landlord. While being evicted when he sold the house was distressing and has left me terrified it will happen again, this house is better, even with penetrating damp, crumbling walls and mould. We had white fluffy mould and green mildew in the last house. This time we have black mould. It's good to switch it up, don't you think? Look carefully and you can make patterns and faces from it. It passes the time. Comfy? As warm as you're likely to get? Great. Let's do this thing. Jamie Oliver did not deserve your anger. How dare you insult him? He's trying to help you, you ungrateful. Get a grip. He's doing the best he can. Okay, now hold your horses and calm down a little. Take a deep, calming breath. My post was not a direct attack on Jamie personally. I am disappointed that I'm unlikely to get the chance to divorce the Hubs and marry Jamie now, but it was not a sensationalist piece of writing done with the sole aim to piss off my fellow Jamie fans. What angered me was that the tagline for his show was, "You can eat like a king, whatever your budget." My budget, Jamie, is £45 a week to feed a family of five. I eat healthy and I eat well, but it sure ain't like a king. I managed to do it, and I never said I could not feed my children. I said that there are times I might have to make do with a bowl of rice, so they can eat the 20p packet of spaghetti with a homemade tomato sauce, pimped up with some Tesco value dried oregano, so it tastes Italian. I have said that there are times that I can't afford to heat my house. I already spend £20 a week on gas, thanks to the meter taking a debt as well. And I have to choose between heating or buying food. I will drink a lot of water instead of eating lunch if the cupboards are depleted. The kids need that food. I am old enough to wait and bide a while. My mum helps a lot, but I do get by on the budget I have. I don't find it too hard either. I never meant to imply that £45 is not enough for food. It is. Mostly. Now, Jamie, what upset me, really upset me to the point of nearly crying, was when you, on your programme, Money Saving Meals, tried to tell me, with my £45 a week budget, that I could save money by buying a £22 shoulder of lamb. I am certain Jack Monroe was likewise appalled at the blasé presumption that this richly priced joint of meat could ever be seen as affordable by a large portion of the people you purport to be helping. I hope that clears it up a little bit for anyone who thought I was simply laying into you for no reason. My ire was not only directed at you, but at the producers, program developers, and all the rest of you who, rightly, do not have to live as I do. It is not budget. Give me a call, Jamie. You taught me all I know. I would be more than happy to teach you in return. I make a wicked vegetable curry. Sell your computer. Get rid of your TV. You have luxury items. No, no, and no. This is indicative of how well we are socially conditioned to believe those left wanting can heal their situation simply by getting rid of parts of their lives deemed superfluous. My children, the three at home, are all at school. Their homework requires the internet. A lot does. My son's college course is entirely computer-based. It is a computer course, so this makes sense. He would love a laptop, but I can't afford to get him one. He works part-time and has recently had to purchase a new bed for himself, as I could not afford it. He went to IKEA and got a nice one, and my youngest daughter received a new mattress as a result. This is how things work, you see. We reuse, recycle, stick together, and get on through. We have the one computer, which is my main source of income. I am an author. I'm just starting in the scheme of things. I have no agent, no publicist, no advertising budget aside from my Facebook page and word of mouth. And now this blog. Yes, I will use it to promote my work. I self-publish and I am only just starting to see anything come from it. I had my first book out for free. I got my name seen for several months while I wrote the sequel. I write. It is how I will make money and get off benefits. If there are any legit agents out there, well, you know, I'm free. You all rejected me once, but I'm open to the idea of a second chance. To tell me to lose the web and to sell my PC, a gift from a friend, is to tell my children they cannot do their coursework, studies, homework, and research to the absolute best standard available to them in this country. It is to tell me I do not have the right to work as an author. Work. I do not, as has been said, lounge around writing blogs for my entertainment. I am a selling author and have been for 7 months. I have no intention and no reason to sell the TV. It is the only one in the house and the kids enjoy it. Why shouldn't they? Giving up the TV will not make the hard times better. These suggestions are painful to read. You're telling me that I can fix my poverty by removing a television and my source of income. It's not fair to assume a torn-off limb could be mended with a plaster. Please realise this situation is not going to be helped by losing my children's source of enjoyment, and it will be worsened if I cannot write and earn royalties from my books. Thank you so much, all of you who bought a book. You have no idea how fast the 29p royalties add up when hundreds are buying. You took your daughter to Cardiff. This one is an easy one. I should not have to justify taking one of my four children somewhere for her birthday, but I will. I'll also tell you how I did it. Meg, my daughter, turned 16 shortly after the new year. All her friends are doing the big American parties and Sweet 16 stuff. I said I would try and find a free hall, maybe pay for a DJ, and lay out an Iceland party-style buffet. She said no, thank you, but no thank you, because it would end up very expensive and she'd have nothing to show for it afterwards. She said it was a waste of money. I save up for the big occasions, and 16 is a milestone. I told Meg I would give her a party that I could afford it, and she said no. She asked instead to go to the Doctor Who experience. She asked in October, do you know many 15-year-old girls who would have the foresight to ask 4 months in advance to go something where the tickets cost £16 for an adult? Me neither, but my daughter did just that. I immediately went on to hostelworld.com. They gather all the backpacker hostels on one site. You punch in a postcode, they show you what's available in that area. You stay in a room with bunk beds and a single bed. My mum came to help cover the cost of the room and to buy us some food while we were there. Luckily, the Nomad has a big kitchen you can use, so it's almost like self-catering. They also feed you cereal in the morning. All this is £40 a night for the room and the breakfast for 3 people. I booked in October and paid a £20 deposit. I then started squirreling the money away for the extortionate train tickets and the tickets for Doctor Who himself. We did not spend a fortune in the mall. I said go prepared to spend a lot, because it is very expensive if you buy anything. I should have added that we window shopped in that mall for 6 hours. It was good fun. They have a Lego store and we looked at individual Lego, but we did not buy any. We walked to Cardiff Castle and we looked at that too. We did not pay £22 each to walk up the stairs and actually see it. That's how much they charge to walk past the gates. I never had that much in my purse, not for me and Meg to go. Had she really wanted to have seen inside, I would have paid for a ticket and sat looking at the walls with my mum. Meg said no. The Saturday night was spent in the recreation room of the Nomad, talking to a backpacker and watching The Voice, munching on a Tesco salad bowl. The high life of luxury, and not quite. I love visiting, but I found it overpriced and impossible, even though I left all my family at home, bar one daughter. Please do not resent her birthday present. She has a right to be allowed gifts and treats, just the same as other children. Without my mum, we could not have gone at all. You should not have bred. You shouldn't have had children. You are not fit to parent. You should have got critical illness cover. Kill yourself. They'll be better off. Just go die somewhere and stop moaning. You should have insurance. You should have saved. This is simply ignorance at its best, isn't it? Because I'm poor, I should not have children. I work, and work hard. So does my husband. We did not know what was coming, and we were young enough to feel immortal. Why would I have thought of critical illness cover? I have life insurance. When this illness kills me, which it will one day, my husband and children will be shooting out of this poverty trap. I have to die to fix this. I will not cancel an insurance I had the foresight to take out aged 22, not to save pennies. It's a good policy, and I got it for my condition. I will leave my family comfortable. I myself will be going off to medical science when I do die. Rest assured, it won't be because I've taken the above advice, though. That would void my insurance. On a side note, when I said the good times, they were simply comfortable, not rich. I could fill my cupboards and not worry about feeding us all. I was able to replace shoes and trainers, and I could meet expenses. At no point have I had enough to take my kids abroad. They've been on 2 Haven holidays. One in 2004 at Warmwell. It was amazing, even though I was pregnant. And one in 2006, just before it all went downhill, to Clacton-on-Sea. They loved it, and I hope they're able to do it again one day. Now that's over, on to the good stuff. Yay, I was depressing myself, and I'm not a gloomy kind of gal. Food banks do not require social services intervention. You'll not be deemed too poor to parent if you go to your GP and get a referral. The Citizens Advice Bureau can also do this, as do some churches, outreach programs, and community-based groups. Some do not need a referral. If you're in dire need and cannot find these resources, please contact your local Sikh temple. I was contacted by a few dozen lovely people from a temple who said all are welcome to sit with them and enjoy a vegetarian meal. It is to the Sikh community a religious obligation to help their fellow humans and treat all equally. They will welcome you and your children. Women, please wear a headscarf. If you have no scarf, they'll supply one for you. There are a lot of benefits a lot of the invisible working poor are not aware of. If you are struggling, please go to your Citizens Advice Centre and they will make bloody sure you get all you can. I have done this and I do receive all I'm entitled to. It's simply not enough to cover rent, council tax, heating, water, electric and other bills. You get the idea. You, though, may be in a different place and there may be more help available to you. I shall be applying for this PIP allowance everyone's told me about. I have a little over 1,000 messages and comments telling me about this. I was turned down for DLA, but who knows, eh? I'll be doing that next week. There are community groups that sound a bit like a communist soup kitchen to the uninitiated, but are actually amazing when you delve a bit deeper. These places will have community gardens and often an attached hall. Sign up, learn some gardening, cook and eat what you grow with your friends, all in the same boat. You can ask about these at your local council offices. Poverty is a big issue amongst the LGBT people. Please know there is support and people out there who will be able to talk to you and help you. There's no need to be alone. If you want advice, a chat, or help with anything, please contact Stonewall as a starting point. They'll point you in the right direction. You can get emergency payments to cover rent from your local council if you are entitled. It's not simply housing benefit. This is a further award that might be given if you're in dire straits. There are support groups as well. These vary considerably depending on where you live, but they should be there. If not, come out as poor and see if one can be started. I've had an overwhelming response, not simply from people who are jobless and on JSA, but nurses, teachers, office staff, waiting staff. The list is as varied as any community ever is. We are not alone, and we have nothing at all to be ashamed of. Poverty shaming only works if you allow it to work. Group together and stand tall. Please, please, please feel free to contact me via my Facebook page if you need a friendly ear or are unsure which way to turn. Just email me or send me a Facebook message. You're not alone. I've asked a friend and my husband to help me admin the site. We are keeping on top of all the messages and, where we can, we'll point you in the right direction if you need help. Even if you just need to offload and reach out to someone, that's okay too. Please be aware that my page is all about full equality in all things. Please be respectful to everyone who likes it and pops by to visit. We're a motley bunch of all things rainbow. We don't care how you identify, what your sexual preference is, or where you come from. You will be welcomed. I'd also like to say, if you would like to donate to help food poverty, contact your local food banks or the Trussell Trust, who will be able to help you. Please feel free to pick up one of the books. Shameless plug, I know, but it is seriously the only job I have to be able to work my way out of the grey area. The series is called Searching for Eden, and there are currently two books available. All the links shown in KathleenKerridge.com's article will be available in the post notes. And thank you all again for all the support. I'm humbled by you all. I'd like to thank Kathleen for allowing me to voice this blog. I think it's very, very important that people get to hear about the working poor, a growing community in the UK, and not just the UK, but around the world as well. And don't just have a go and attack people simply because they tell you their situations. I've suffered this myself. I get it all the time. Oh, how can you afford to do all this and waste your time doing all this talking and radio and stuff? Well, it's what keeps me sane. And hopefully one day I might start making some money from it, because right now I don't get a single penny.